intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for a touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic, and also with us tonight, Mike Coffey from NDNation.com. So, guys, I guess we're finally here. I mean, the excitement level is about as high as it gets on a Thursday in the fall. We're not quite, I guess, the fall yet, but Coffey, what do you? What's your general take? We might as well just get right into it. What's your prediction for the game Saturday?
My prediction is I think it's probably going to be a little closer than some folks think. I think ND will pull it out. I'm looking at something like maybe 28-17.
Yep, Ed, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't have a very good feeling actually. I mean, I think Notre Dame will win two out of their first three, but the one they lose is going to be. That could very well be on Saturday. It's kind of a scary team the more that I look at the Bulls. And, you know, the storyline is there for Skip. I still think it's going to be a good season. I think actually both these teams are going to play in BCS games. And I'm going to say South Florida is going to win 24-20.
All right, Ed, this is the last time you're doing Dome and Domer. interestingly, I think both of you guys would probably get crucified by Notre Dame fans that listen to this show, because unfortunately, people think for some reason we're just going to walk through South Florida because we're ranked 16th. They're not ranked. That means we should be winning, and that's the end of story. I think a lot of people don't realize is this game is scary from the standpoint of how many times have we seen over the last 15 years where a guy who's a good quarterback, a very capable athletic quarterback, causes problems for Notre Dame, and a lot of times we end up losing that game. I think a lot of people don't realize that there are a couple outlets that have South Florida going to a BCS game at the end of the year.
The worst BCS conference, and they, you know, they probably have, you know, their schedule, I think, sets up, you know, quite well. I think Notre Dame wins on Saturday, and I think, you know, South Florida, we're still talking about them at the end of the year. So I think actually in a funny way, you know, this game is really going to, you know, it's going to help Notre Dame get into a BCS game, whether they win or lose, because I think that South Florida is going to have a real good year.
Yeah, it'll definitely help them. But I know, Mike, that, you know, with you being involved in Indy Nation, I'm kind of curious what your take is as well. Most Notre Dame fans are over-predictive when it comes to really giving a realistic view of what Notre Dame should do this year. And certainly this game is epitomizes that. What do you think the general take, if you had to put a pulse on it from the ND Nation crowd, as to what does the general Notre Dame fans think or what their prediction would be Saturday?
Well, I think there's a confidence out there, and that's certainly a good thing to see. But the key question that I think some people want to have answered and will have it answered by this time on Saturday is, what are we going to see out of not only the players but the coaching staff? Are we going to see the momentum from the last four or five games carried over? Are we going to see players like Tuitt and Williams and Lynch and all these high-quality defensive guys, if they come and they can contribute right off the bat and they make things difficult for South Florida, it's going to be a good game and a good season. But I think everyone's so worried about the unknowns at this point. There's a confidence, but people are almost like kind of, I don't want to say afraid to express it, but there's a reservation there. They want to be enthusiastic about it, but there's still a couple question marks that need to be resolved first.
Yeah, and there's been 16 years of this for us lately. You know, there's the excitement level builds up, and then all of a sudden we get let down. We're just like, oh, brother, here we go. Now, I'd argue, Ed, that obviously there's a lot of things different about this whole situation that we're in right now. Even though it kind of feels a little eerily similar, there are differences here, and the differences are that we haven't finished strong like we did last year. We always lost that bowl game. You know, that Notre Dame didn't beat a quality opponent that really seemed to give high rise occasion for excitement going into the next year. And then secondly, you know, the Brian Kelly factor. I mean, is this guy really a guy who's billed as he is and, has the confidence and the skill set as a coach to take teams to play to a championship level? Because if he is the guy, then there is some excitement and it's justifiable for this team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think what's at work here is the fact that, you know, a lot of Notre Dame fans, it's either, you know, they can't lose a single game or they're god-awful. You know, sometimes there's just teams that are better on a given day. And I think the difference is that when Notre Dame loses football games in the Brian Kelly era, and believe me, they will, you know, it just happens. It's going to be not because it's not a program that's in good shape, you know, that's not well run, not because, you know, they make a bunch of terrible mental mistakes, not because they don't play with toughness and character, but because the other team on the other side of the ball just does a better job on that day. And that's going to happen, you know, once in a while. They've got some good football teams on their schedule this year and next year and in future years. So I think the difference is that, you know, when we lost football games, you know, in previous eras, you know, era, Devine, Holtz, whatever, it was usually not because we were out prepared or out hustled or made a lot of mental mistakes. It was just because, you know, the other team has talent and happened to play better or got a bounce here or there, or, you know, so I think the difference is that, I mean, you could lose to South Florida Saturday and still have a really good season. You could lose to South Florida Saturday and still play really good football all year. You know, Notre Dame will win a game or two, they'll be underdogs against Michigan if they lose Saturday, and they could go out and beat Michigan by two or three touchdowns. You know, it's just I think that until we see that they are, you know, kind of like in that echelon of, and there's only a few schools like that have that kind of talent each year, where you know, they beat teams that are good football teams, and they only have a close one against another great team, then, you know, we gotta see that first. But, you know, there's no, I don't understand why Notre Dame fans, you know, would say like, oh yeah, well, they should, you know, I mean, just because somebody says it's a 10-point game, you know, that makes
right exactly sense. It's the hype, but you know, I think that I'm going to go on record and I'm going to say that Notre Dame is going to win 21-17. I think it's going to be close. I just think that, you know, for the most part, this is still a fairly younger Notre Dame football team. This is still kind of new to the Brian Kelly era, and this is the kind of game where, you know, it's a tough one right out of the box. You're facing a great offense with some skilled athletic players, and they actually have some decent defensive players as well, you know, especially on their cornerbacks and so forth. But you know that's going to be I think what you will see this year, and Coffey, you can correct me if you feel otherwise, it wouldn't surprise me if Notre Dame ends up going 9-3, but I would say that those three losses will be tight ball games that Notre Dame is in all the way into the fourth quarter. You're not going to see the blowout games where the talent level just isn't there and Notre Dame just can't compete at that level and, you know, we're never in the game. I don't see that happening at all.
I don't either. If you look at the teams on the schedule, there really aren't any where you're sitting there before the game saying, oh, this is a bad matchup for us. Even teams like Southern Cal, which the last 7-8 years have just had seemingly avalanches of talent, it sounds like everything's just completely fallen apart out there. One of their defensive assistant coaches quit yesterday or something.
Yeah,
that's just been crazy. So there really isn't anybody on the schedule that you look at and say, I'm scared of that game. But by the same token, there really isn't anyone on the schedule that you look at and can say, oh, this is going to be a walkover. Maybe Wake Forest, although I understand they're playing well against Syracuse tonight. So it's that averaging and balancing of talent, and the fact that all of Notre Dame's perceived as elite talent is relatively young and hasn't done anything necessarily to prove itself yet. We're not really in a position where we can prognosticate with any degree of certainty. Now, once when we're talking before the Pittsburgh game, I'm sure that'll be completely different. We'll have watched these guys, we'll have watched the Atkinson twins and all these other players who have come in with such fanfare. We'll be able to see how they've been doing, and then we can look at the rest of the season and say, okay, here's this. I think 9-3 is a very reasonable prediction. The trouble is, you can't really look at the game, the schedule, and really clearly see where the threes are. I could see three coming the exact way you described it. I can also see three coming where that it's just an absolute train wreck, which I don't want to see either.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game Saturday, about, you know, kind of the keys. Ed, if Notre Dame were to win, what would you think the key would be? I mean, what would do it that Notre Dame's going to have to do in order to win this game?
I think it's very possible. I mean, these predictions are just kind of, you know, like, you just kind of like, okay, let
gut instincts,
well, it's
right?
Not even that. It's just like, okay, I'll take the other side on this because I know you guys are going to pick Notre Dame. people get so infatuated. I think one of the byproducts of all the hype that recruiting and how the attention recruiting gets today, that people are just so always just infatuated with these freshmen and with the contributions that they'll make. And I think that is a little bit, you know, honestly disrespectful to the guys that have paid their dues and that are really ready to shine. I mean, you know, yes, maybe we'll see something from Lynch and to it, and they'll get a lot of attention or whatever, but they'll make, you know, mistakes too. Maybe they'll make a play or two. But I mean, I think that first of all, you got to see how the main, you know, guys in this on this team come out and play, and if they're ready to take their place as really solid producers. And I'm talking about guys like Braxton Cave and Trevor Robinson and Sierre Wood. I'm talking about guys like Jamora Slaughter and Manti and KLM and, you know, guys that they understand the game of college football now. They understand that they've got to bring it every play. And, you know, a lot of times it takes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years before the lights kind of go on and you get a really terrific senior season. And I think if Notre Dame doesn't, you know, if they take care of the football and they play kind of the stout defense that we saw some really good evidence of at the end of last year, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah. I think if I had to put it down, I'd say it's two keys. One, it, without a doubt, it's going to come down to Dane Chris. He's got to be able to write it from the get-go, and I mean like the first and second series. He's got to establish just confidence and let it be known that, hey, this whole thing about deciding who the quarterback was simply a matter of me being hurt last year and Tommy playing well while I was hurt. But the fact of the matter is, now that I'm 100% and I'm back at it, I'm the guy that's going to lead this team. I think if he can establish that in the first two series, that's going to bode well for the team throughout the game. The second thing is, also within those first two series, I really think that we have got to establish the line of scrimmage, and there has got to be some push where we're cracking off 4 yards a game. If we come out there and we get stuffed at the line of scrimmage, it is going to be a very long day on Saturday, and I think that's where the problems are going to arise. I would imagine, Coffee, you somewhat agree with that, but is there anything else to add to what else you think is going to be key?
Well, I would actually put a finer point. The key point to me is how Notre Dame contains B.J. Daniels, South Florida's quarterback. The that to me is really the key for the game. I don't think we're going to have necessarily problems on offense. I think South Florida's front seven are they're relatively solid, but I think their defensive line is light. And I think if our offensive line is performing the way it should be, they should be able to not necessarily push them around, but they should be able to establish the line of scrimmage like you want. The key is going to be when Notre Dame is on defense, what is BJ Daniels doing? And how successfully is he doing it? If Daniels has a good day, or God help us, a great day, then it's going to be tough, if not impossible, for Notre Dame to win. If we can spend at the very least the first half just bottling up Daniels and not letting him beat us with his feet and with his decision-making, force him to commit to a run or a pass early, which will allow the defense to adjust as quickly as possible. What we don't want are these broken pass plays where he escapes containment and runs for 7 or 8 yards. Or, God forbid, more. Those are the plays that are going to kill us. Those are the plays that demoralize the defense and keep South Florida in the game. If we get into the mid-late fourth quarter and South Florida is in the game, that's the most dangerous situation Notre Dame can possibly think of, and they should do whatever is possible to stay out of it.
I would agree. Yeah, I think another thing is our red zone production. I mean, we've got to get touchdowns in the red zone, I think, to beat a team like South Florida and to beat most teams, because I think that they're the kind of team that can, like Mike's alluding to, get some big plays from their quarterback and get some quick strike touchdowns, something that we've been susceptible to in the past. So there's, and the other thing is that, I love David Ruffer. Kickers, to me, like, if he has another year approaching what he did last year with that kind of consistency, I mean, I think that would be tremendous. I mean, it's kind of like, kickers go into slumps, and he was just so automatic last year. I just have this awful feeling, that there's going to be a situation this year where he misses 3-4 in a row and it costs us a game along the lines, because it just seems to me so hard to kick with that kind of consistency and accuracy. But maybe he's just one heck of a kicker. I hope that's the case. So I would say, say red zone production and, getting the ball into the end zone when we have a little bit of a drive. That to me, I thought, was a shortcoming of Chris last year when he was playing. Was kind of converting, and maybe with Sierra giving them a little bit something extra this year, they can improve in that category. But I think, especially in a game against a team that's pretty athletic on defense and can quick strike you on offense, you've got to get touchdowns when you have a chance.
Yeah, well, I think, and back to your point, Coffee, the whole idea of the containment with BJ Daniels. The thing there is you can't, when a guy can scramble and makes yardage 7 or 8, what that does is it gives him just a ton of confidence, and then he doesn't feel pressured to make the big play. But if you do contain him and you're not able to let him rip that off, then he starts to press it a little bit. And when he starts to press it a little bit, that's where, the big turnovers can happen. And what we haven't seen in the past with us are some of those turnovers that are on their side of the field. It seems like the times for us in the past have always been turnovers when they're deep in our territory. And, we kind of escape a disaster. But I do think that, and this may be a theme for this year, if these guys do come in and what I might argue with the freshmen, the thing that it does give you is you got to have those spells. You can't have a defensive line that's out there the entire game without getting spells. And if we do have some guys that can come in that are impact players, so that in such a way that when they do give a spell, they're actually making a play. I mean, there's a big play that's being made by the guy that's the backup. That kind of stuff goes a long, long way and really is what keeps that pressure on a guy like BJ Daniels. And then that ends up being the difference in the game. If we can just steal one or two turnovers, especially on their side of the ball. And like you say, Ed, if we got a guy that's dead to right from a field goal, well, they just gave up 3 points. I mean, that turnover immediately turns into 3. Now it's a matter, can we get 7 out of it? So I really think that is going to be key to the game on Saturday. If we can just keep him contained and then somehow force him to feel a little bit of the pressure where he starts forcing it, trying to make something happen by threading the needle, and boom, there's the pick, and away we go with the turnovers and turning that into points.
And I think one other advantage that Notre Dame has is just in depth. I think we have a more established roster of, at least on paper, more talented players that we can bring to bear. I think South Florida has some talented starters, but once you get into their two deep, you're seeing a lot of guys who haven't necessarily been able, who haven't had the chance to do much. Now, they may come out and surprise. That's not necessarily the be-all, end-all. But with the depth we have, I would love to see us really come out and utilize it, where we're going to play physical football because we can win that war of attrition. I think not only does that help us use that advantage, but I also think it takes the pressure off Dane Crist. He is an experienced player, but I'd hate to suddenly throw all the weight of the world on his shoulders. First game back since October, now all of a sudden he's throwing left and right. I'd really like to see us make use of a ground game where we can start softening up their defensive line that doesn't have a whole lot of depth to begin with, and take the pressure off Crist, where if the ground game's moving, now you get Crist on a play-action pass, completes a couple of those, he gets all, as I was saying, you get the confidence, and then once you have the confidence, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right.
I think we're probably going to see a Theo Riddick in the return game either make a difference in this game, either positively or negatively. You know, either a muff or a fumble, or hopefully a decent sized return that sets up an easy score, or sets up a very short drive. I think that it's long overdue that Notre Dame special teams, outside of just David Ruffer, have an impact on a game, and I wouldn't be surprised if that starts on Saturday.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I'd love to get it back to the Holt years where you could literally point to two or three games on the season where the special teams was the difference. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's huge keys, almost as much as turnovers. I mean, that special teams at the end of the day can make the difference. And we haven't really seen that, and I agree. I mean, I think if somehow we can just steal one of those, that could end up being the difference in the game for sure. All right, fellas. Well, let's hope that the next time we do the show, it's on our predictions and not Ed's. That's definitely...
Please hope that I'm wrong.
That'd be a good thing that we can tell you that you were wrong, Ed.
That'd be great. I would love it.
It's going to be an ugly day if you're right. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.